It still amazes me. I was thinking about that song as Michelle was singing, and it is quite amazing. 3 months ago, almost 3 months ago, a little over 3 months ago, I resigned the church where I was at, not having nowhere to go back in October. We traveled a little bit to see family. Went down to Florida and spent a week for kind of an early anniversary because we could afford it then and we didn't know what was going to be going on in January. We spent a week there in Florida and spent some time together, really enjoyed it. We visited our son in Georgia. We drove down the southern route through Alabama and visited a church that we had helped that were about ready to close their doors about 3 years ago to see them. Encouraged, and it was amazing, as now going from five families ready to throw in the towel to running two services on Sunday morning because they're running out of room. Then we made our way up through New Orleans to visit a family that was in our church in Germany where I pastored for 11 years, which seems like another life years ago. Their young family and seeing their kids that were all now grown up, to be so encouraged to walk in the door and still hear pastor from the young girls who are now preteens and teenagers that knew us when they were so little. But we've kept up through technology and Facebook. Spent some time with them, went to church, worship with them, and then we made our way a little further coming west, making our way here to our daughter's house to spend Thanksgiving. And little did I know that a pastor would make this decision to resign and then us show up because we needed a church to go visit somewhere along the first week or so of the announcement was made. It still amazes me. God began working and orchestrating back in October, if not sooner, for all this to lay out for us to come in. And as Brother Frank asked me, why did you come by the church that Saturday? And I said, well, it's been a habit for us in our marriage while I was in the military, then after the military, when we moved to a new area before I went into ministry, I went out to find a church before Sunday. And we would look up, back then there was no internet, so we just kind of drove around, looked through the yellow pages to find out where they were and drove. Now we have the internet, but I still made a decision. We wanted to go somewhere fairly close to where our daughter lived. They had a church that they go to quite a bit further out, but we wanted to be more on the western side, so we just went out and drove by the church. And I tell you, when I saw the property and the orange trees and Brother Stone and Brother Frank out working the yard, I pulled in and talked to Frank for a few moments, and I thought, you know, this ought to be the place that we visit on Sunday. And we did. And the rest is pretty much history, like it or not. But here we are. And we're a little bit nervous, got in bed early last night and got up early this morning. And I hope I am always nervous before I preach with the awesome responsibility, but a little more so this morning. And had a wonderful dream last night. I dreamt that I preached really well, and everyone said amen. So, here we are. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And as you turn there, it'd be a little bit different this morning. I want you to enjoy the service. I don't want you to have to be thinking about anything. So I've already talked to Brother Rick. I'm going to lead the invitation. My wife, Miss Marlene, is going to play. Y'all just enjoy the service. And we'll work things out in the future as the Lord leads how we do things. But just as just Michelle and I have done, worked together so long in the invitation giving. And I want you to have an opportunity to be focused on all that was going on. So you already know what's going on. At the end of the service, we'll have an invitation. I won't ask you to sing. I'll just ask you to bow your heads and prayer and let the Holy Spirit work. Michelle will play softly, and I'll talk a little bit and be quiet a little bit and pray a little bit. And we'll have a few stanzas of invitation as the Lord leads. And then we'll close the service and get ready for a short vote. I did break up the message, so it doesn't mean it's going to be any shorter. Part one tonight and part two by faith next Sunday morning. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about trials and basically with a thought of how to hang on. 2,000 years ago, and we'll read here in our passage in just a moment, a community of Christ followers located in what is now is known as Greece experimented great persecution by religious authorities from their own family members. And because they were so young in their faith, these trials were causing others to doubt and really to become discouraged. And this Christian community needed some encouragement. And this is a bit what's being written here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So let me ask you this morning, what do you do when your world caves in? How does Christians respond to hard times? I believe our answers are right here in the Word of God. And just like the Apostle Paul wrote to those in Thessalonica, we can apply some of these principles for us today. That's relevant for us from the Word of God. Though it be 2,000 years old or 2,000 plus years ago, it's still very much relevant today. And I believe if we look at the Scriptures this morning, I think we would all admit that all of us will face some of these questions sooner rather than later in reference to trials and tribulations. It may not be from behind prison bars, but we will all go through deep trials eventually in our life. And when that happens, everything we believe will be put on the line. We like to say or think we know what we would do in certain circumstances or situations, but we really don't know until it actually happens to us. It's easy to look at others and say, well, that was me, I would. Well, we really don't know until it happens to us. That's why it's so important that we know the Scriptures. Here in the first 9 verses, and we'll read the first 5 in just a moment, of 1 Thessalonians 3, Paul wrote to some new believers who were suddenly and unexpectedly found themselves in great difficulties. They were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. And here in our text shows Paul reassured them and encouraged them to stand firm during times of affliction and times of distress. Here we'll go at this morning, and not all of them, but we'll look at between today and next week, 6 truths that can help us hang on when there are difficulties in our life. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll read those first 5 verses, have a word of prayer, and we'll take off. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and your labor be in vain. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Ed Allman if he would ask God's blessings on the Word of God and the preaching this morning. Brother Allman. How to hang on during trials. So let's get this over with real quick before I start preaching. How many of you ever went through a trial before? Yeah. How many of you felt like you went through a combine when you come out the other end? Just beat up, whipped, and thought, goodness, what happened? You know, we're going to have trials. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but if we will just remember, as the Apostle Paul wrote to encourage these believers, we have all the answers. We know how to go through them, and we may not want them. We must realize that no matter what takes place in our trials, we've got a couple choices. Either we walk through them with the hand of God, or we try to go around them or hurdle them in some way. But see, by walking through our trials and walking through those difficulties, in Him with the Lord as He leads us, helps us to grow, but most importantly, helps us to draw closer to Him. And that's where growth takes place, drawing nigh to God. That's where things can be reassured. And sometimes we as adults, we forget. How many, gentlemen, be honest with you, man. How many of you remember growing up of having some things that you're afraid of, but if Dad was close by, you didn't have any fear? Come on. Yeah. Our Heavenly Father is always there. In the good times, in the bad times, in the great fear. And sometimes we just forget He's right there to hold our hand. He's right there to walk with us through the fire or whatever the case may be. Let's look at a couple things this morning as we have time. 6 truths that can help us hang in there when difficulties come our way, or simply how to hang on during trials. Number one, by realizing trials, you ready for this, are uncomfortable. Boy, that was a no-brainer. Well, preacher, I didn't even have to come to church to know that. Of course they're uncomfortable. Notice with me the first 3 verses once again. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. See, Paul desperately wanted to go back and visit this young church, but Satan had blocked him or kept him from going. And even here, he says that it was good to be left at Athens alone, which is a very strong phrase. It literally means to be forsaken or to be left behind. Sometimes we feel that way when we're going through trials. Paul felt orphaned from his fellow believers, and so he did the next best thing. He sent Timotheus. He sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage them during their trials. Here in this passage, we see the Greek phrase, should be moved. And it means to wag the tail. It has the idea of being so shaken by circumstance that you flop back and forth. Ever felt that way going through trials? That you're just being tossed to and fro by all that's going around behind you? I know it's very simple, but realizing that trials are uncomfortable will help us to realize that, hey, it's a trial. It's not a picnic. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be uncomfortable, but we know that my God is in control. Somehow, some way, he's seen fit that it's what's best for me. Another good example. How many of y'all remember, I'm not going to call any names. How many of y'all remember your dad, your mama saying, son, sweetheart, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you? Now, how many of you didn't believe a single word of it until you had your own kids? Then when you had your own kids, you understood. And believe me, our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we're going through. And exactly, I don't have no theology for this, but I can't help but to think of it. Does it pain our Heavenly Father when we have to go through some of these trials to draw us closer to Him? They are uncomfortable. If it wasn't a trial, it wouldn't be uncomfortable. We are going to face some difficulties. And this word affliction means to be under the thumb or under the thumb of pressure. Many of you know from experience what that feels like. Matter of fact, some of you may be going through some unrelenting pressure right now that might even keep you awake at night and make you feel wiped out during the day. I know this is easier said than done. I'm guilty. Worry's supposed to be a sin. But praise God, guess what? I'm a man made of flesh and blood, therefore I will sin. Therefore, I will have doubts. Therefore, I may struggle. But that's when I need to be reminded and remember that trials are uncomfortable. When I'm under the thumb, my God is still in complete control. Someone has once said, God will take care of what you go through. You take care of how you get through it. Think about that for a moment. How we go through those things. Remember this, your particular trial doesn't matter as much as how you respond to it. How often do we see people responding and watching us when we go through difficulties? Especially the world that we're trying to witness to. And they wonder sometimes we live in a fishbowl because the world's wondering, well, how is Christian so-and-so going to handle this? He's been witnessing to me. He's been trying to comfort me when I've had rough times. What is he going to do? They're watching. They're observing, and when they realize that they are uncomfortable and we're going through the trials and we look to our Heavenly Father, we look to our church family, we look to our spouse, we look to others for prayer, that points them in the same direction back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trials are uncomfortable. Dear friends, are you uncomfortable today? If so, you're not alone and you don't have to stay that way. It's so helpful if we'll just remember the next truth. Number one, not only by realizing trials are uncomfortable, but number two, by realizing trials are appointed by God. They're uncomfortable, but hey, God's in complete control. He allows these things to come our way. Notice the latter part of the middle part of verse 3. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. See, that phrase, we were appointed, comes from a verb that means to put, to ordain, or to place, which is a very strong way of saying your hard times were placed there by God. Your hard times were placed there by God. He allows us to go through some of the fire, but we all know where a diamond begins in the process to get there, or a pearl. And I know sometimes we go through some difficulties, but if we'll just hang on, remind ourselves that they are going to be uncomfortable, but also remember that God is in complete control. You see, persecution doesn't happen without a purpose because suffering comes with the territory. This verse teaches us that trials are appointments and not accidents. And to be honest, I've had some appointments that I would gladly have canceled. Amen? Hey, some of those trials that we go through, we're glad. I mean, we get on the other end, we're like, man, I'm glad that's over. But the process and how we go through some of those trials, those things that God allows, and realizing they are uncomfortable, getting through them, the Lord will mold us and to make us who and what he wants us to be. Sometimes the Lord may allow us to go through trials just simply to show others how to go through them, how to lean upon the Lord, how to trust in him for each and every need. Again, he appoints tough times for our good and for his glory. Listen carefully. Everything that comes to you has already passed through the hands of God and has received his stamp of approval. If we realize that during that time of uncomfort that they are approved by God, maybe it will help us to remember, Lord, I'm uncomfortable. I don't like it, but I trust you. But I trust you. Well, I don't know about you. Growing up as a boy, especially in Florida in our early years, when we had, Daddy bought some land out of about 800 or 1,000 acres of swamp land. There's 12 families, I can't remember. And we moved in as 11th or 12th family, clearing the land, rattlesnakes, pygmy rattlesnakes, panthers, bobcats, I mean, the whole nine yards. And my mom was upset there for a little while. She had left the farm, left the country. She wanted to live city life. But there we were. We had to make some adjustments, and there were times that we were fearful, but there's one thing that I learned even during that time. Dad says, boys, stay close to me when we were clearing the field. Boys, stay close to me. He'd hand us a hoe, things that we need if we saw a snake, but we worked and we divided and we cut the grass. We put a fence. Eventually, we built a house, but the point I'm trying to make here, Dad said, boys, there's no need to fear. There's no need to fear. Stay within the boundaries of her home and her fence when it was finished. When you go off, you go away till we got comfortable. He'd always encourage us and remind us where we were at. Even would take us out sometimes away and encourage us to tell him how to get back to the house. Walking us to the bus route because we had to walk. Seemed like it was southern Florida, and it seemed like it was 3 miles uphill and snow every time I walked up there. You know, you ever tell that story to your grandkids? But it seemed like a long way as a kid. But Dad would always remind us, here's the safe path. Here's the way to go. And dear friends, we'll remember that God has provided the safety of the path to go through this storm, to go through this trial, to go through this temptation, because he is there with us all the time. I'm afraid, and some of you can say, oh, me or amen, but folks, bottom line is, there may be a lot of comfort by having Smith and Wesson on your side, but the best comforter is the Lord Jesus Christ. The best comforter is the Holy Spirit. I'm not against caring. I will be caring. But what I'm saying is, let's have the same confidence in us defending ourselves in that sense, and remember that God can defend us in the spiritual realm more effectively than we can defend ourselves. Let's move on. Number three. Not just by realizing trials are appointed and realizing trials are expected to be difficult, but trials are expected to be difficult, number three. Remember, again, they're uncomfortable, they're appointed by God, and they're expected to be uncomfortable, number three. Notice verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulations, even as it came to pass, and you know. You see, some people may regard this as a negative, but to me it is a positive, because it's better to expect the difficulties than to think life will always be a bed of roses. The bottom line, hey, I'm enjoying life, but I know just because it's wonderful today, my world could change the next day. Now, the song that my wife sang this morning, it still amazes me, is one of the many songs that she has written. Most of the songs that she has written and the poems that she's wrote usually has happened after a trial or tribulation in our ministry. Not always, but oftentimes. And sometimes after a great victory. But it's always after God had intervened in some way and opened a door, closed a door, or provided a way. Dear friends, does God put a song in your heart when things are going sideways and you know you have the peace to trust in him? Or does it only come after you get through the trial? See, we're to have the joy even in the midst of struggle, knowing that God was in control. We can think of stories of the Bible, and I won't take time to go through a lot of them, but one that comes to my mind is, I can't help but to think, how did Daniel feel in the den of lions? You know, I don't know, but I have complete confidence he was confident because he knew what God had already done in his life. And dear friends, look back on what God has done for you. Look back on how God has worked in and through your life and has helped you through some trials and difficulties. They're supposed to be difficult. And sometimes they seem like they're extremely overwhelming. Trials are the common lot for every Christian. This health and wealth gospel is a false gospel. The bottom line is we are going to go through hardship. We are not exempt because we trust Christ. No one is exempt. No one gets a trouble-free to ride to heaven, and no one gets a get-out-of-trials card. It's fun in Monopoly, get out of jail free, but we don't get out of trials just because we trust Christ. But we do have someone to help us through the trials when we go through them. The Bible tells us, as the Lord put it this way in Matthew 24 and verse 9, Matthew 24:9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And it says in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." You see, suffering is a mark of discipleship, something that is guaranteed for the follower of Christ. And if we'll remind ourselves, this is going to help me grow, if I realize that God has ordained it, if I realize, yes, it may be uncomfortable, but sometimes we can rejoice in knowing that maybe it wasn't quite as uncomfortable as the last one, or maybe from the last one we learned to lean on Him a little more. But so often God uses it for those that are around us to observe how we allow God to work in and through our lives. See, when you put your faith in Christ, you will experience pressures and persecution. Paul told the Thessalonians ahead of time that problems would come. And dear friends, the Christian life is not a quick fix. But it's one thing that's comforting to know, no matter what takes place on here, when the trump sounds, I take my last breath, I know where I'll be. No more pain, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more trials. I have no idea what heaven's going to be like. I can only imagine and go through my mind of reading the word how wonderful it's going to be. Now, Miss Michelle is convinced that her mansion is going to have a Krispy Kreme conveyor belt in it. And the hot now sign is on all the time, 24/7. Now, she can dream away. We have no idea, but we have something to look forward to. Even during the trials, something that we can look forward to. Dear friends, how to hang on during trials. We realize that trials are uncomfortable. We realize that they are appointed by God. We realize that trials are expected to be difficult. But then number four this morning, by realizing trials can tempt us to give up. Let me go back in one more verse of scripture on this last point. Acts 14:22 tells us, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." We're going to go through this tribulation. Tribulation does work with patience. I mean, think about it. Be honest with you. Honest with me. How many of you have the word patience on your prayer list? How many of you have it on it for somebody else? Patience does work tribulation. But you know, we're going to go through the trials and tribulations. But the bottom line is when we realize these simple things here that we've looked at, these four, and we'll get to the other two next week. And again, this number four, by realizing trials can tempt us to give up. How often do we see believers go through a difficulty and just throw in the towel and give up when the victory, when the blessings, the greatness of God is just around the corner? Verse 5 tells us, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." You see, one of Satan's main tools is to tempt us to run from God instead of to God. Why run from the Lord? I don't know about you. Again, back to the analogy of kids growing up, when trouble came my way, I ran to my dad, not away. Unless he was telling me to get to the woodshed, I was going to my dad. I didn't want to run from him because that's where safety was for me as a young boy. And as adults now, we should realize that our Heavenly Father is there for us. Don't allow these trials to tempt us to give up because we have no idea what's around the corner. Let me give an illustration. A lot of my illustrations come from fellowship and gatherings with other believers. Some comes through my past ministry. But I can remember we were in the country of Moldova, 1994. We had rented a building called the House of Culture or the Dom Cultura, which was where they was a house of culture. What all they did, I don't know. But they also had their socialism and election rallies for the Communist Party. And they agreed to allow us, the mayor, to use the building under one condition, rent free. All we had to do is paint the outside and paint the inside. And if utility bills got out of hand, the help of the utility bills. By the way, the utility bills never came out of hand. The heat came on in October, went off in April, no matter what the weather. And you could see your breath during the service. As a pastor, I loved it. I could tell Brother Darrell who was singing and who wasn't, because I could see their breath or not in the wintertime. But here we are using this building. Everything is going well. God is blessing. We're starting to see some people come to church, but it's a little slow. And we come in on a rally one day, into church one day. They're having a rally, and we were told Sunday morning that we could not use the building because the Communist Power Party was having their elections coming up, and they were giving their speeches. Now, we just had a few people here and there coming to church, not a whole lot, but we were excited to have a few people. So we were forced to meet outside or to cancel church. Now, it would have been easy to face a trial there and say, oh, well, what are we going to do? Well, we didn't do that. I said, okay, Michelle, get your flannel graph. We went over, and the House of Culture was here. Another school building was here. Apartment buildings were on this side and on the back side. In the middle was a small picnic area and sandbox and a few little toys for kids. We went in the middle of that area, and Michelle taught Sunday school using the flannel graph. And that was the biggest blessing that the devil tried to discourage us with. Because we didn't quit and because we didn't cancel church, here's what happened. The wind was blowing. We had a hard time keeping the flannel graph up. And during this time, these folks had never seen flannel graph in their life. Some of them have never seen a copy of the Word of God. So Michelle was teaching using the flannel graph. Parents began to come out, looking over their balcony, trying to watch and to listen to the Sunday school lesson, which they would have never darkened to the doors of our building that we were meeting in. So we turned the trial, we turned the frustration, we turned the last minute or no notice into a victory by saying, God, we're going to trust you, we're going to walk through this, we're going to figure it out. And we had church that day. And because mothers were looking out, and because mothers were watching and observing what was going on, and because they heard the Bible story, almost every single mom looking out with their kids were in church the next Sunday morning. Let me tell you why. Communist Party pushed and taught that Baptists, the American Baptists, sacrifice babies to their God. Not their own babies, your babies. No wonder the kids wouldn't come to church. No wonder moms wouldn't let them. But the next day, the next Sunday, we had a full house where people came, and some of us pulled us aside and thanked us for having church anyway, even though the Communist Party took the building, because we learned something by watching and observing. The rest of that week, we had visitors come by our home. We were asking about the church. I come by the park in the area, come down and sit down with another gentleman to be there to see the response, and moms and people would come down and ask about the church service, ask about what we do for kids. And one of the ladies told us the propaganda of the Communist Party. My heart just sank. I'll share more stories at another time at another illustration. But because we didn't throw in the towel, because we didn't give up, and we decided to do what we knew God would have us to do, God honored our faithfulness. We trusted him, and God worked. And there's a church there established in that little village of Vaudeluy Vade. Only because we decided to take the trial that God had ordained. And even though it was uncomfortable, even though we were still struggling with the language and had to use a translator, we decided to go forward, even within the temptation, not to give up. Again, dear friends, when we are tempted, here's what happens. We doubt God's goodness. When we are tempted and we fall to temptation, we retaliate against others with anger and resentment. When we are tempted to doubt God, when we are tempted to retaliate, and we are tempted to give into despair and discouragement, is when we lose the battle. Let me back up and go over those again. When we allow the temptation of Satan to cause us to yield, we are tempted to doubt God's goodness. You see, the tempter whispers in our ear that God has forgotten us, that he doesn't care, that he isn't good. And dear friends, we know that is not true. And when we are tempted and we fall to temptation, we not only doubt the goodness of God, but we might retaliate against others with anger and resentment. You see, this is one of his favorite tactics, old Slewfoot. His favorite tactics when our hard times involve and problems with friends and with family members, sometimes we retaliate out of frustration and anger. Don't allow the tempter. Don't allow him to cause us to throw in the towel. Don't allow him to cause us to doubt God or to retaliate. But then also don't allow him during our temptation to be tempted to give in to despair and discouragement. Maybe you're sick this morning and feel as you're never get better. Maybe you feel like you're just struggling as you age, or you feel like you're struggling because you're trying to follow the Lord and it seems like Satan's just attacking you. Perhaps you feel rejected. Perhaps you feel alone. Maybe you've lost a job or failed a test and feel that you're not qualified to do anything. Dear friends, that's just Satan whispering in your ear to get you to give in to despair and discouragement. Dear friends, I believe Paul was worried about these new Christians, and he sent Timothy to find out if they were still standing strong or if they were still hanging on. Here's where I believe we fail, and we'll start the invitation in just a moment. I think so often we fall into a temptation. The devil tempts us. Again, the Lord allows it. The Lord ordains it. And sometimes he catches us at a weak time where we just feel like, you know, I just don't have the strength. I just don't know that I can do it. Dear friends, I know pastors, missionaries, evangelists, lay leaders, deacons, trustees, good, solid men and women in our churches that have thrown in the towel because they just grown weary. They just felt like they couldn't get through it. And here's their mistake. They felt like they couldn't get through it. Dear friends, I don't know about you. I can do anything with God's help. We can do anything with aid and the help of God. In fact, we should share prayer requests. We should share each other's trials and burdens and difficulties. We may not have to go into detail, but it's enough said if you say, go to a friend, and you come to me and say, preacher, pray for me. We're really going through it. That's all I need to know because he knows. And I can lift you up in prayer. I can lift you up in intercessory prayer in you, me, and one another. See, Satan is good at what he does. But here's what we forget. God is better. God is better. And we'll just lean on him and learn to hang on. Hang in there during those trials and tribulation. Trials are going to come, but how do we hang on during our trials and our difficulties? Simply put, the best thing that we can do to learn to hang on is remember that it's going to be rough. It's going to be uncomfortable. We need to remember that these trials that we're going through are actually allowed or appointed by God. We need to realize that trials are expected to be difficult, and there'll be different stages, but also that trials can tempt us to give up. Make a decision now. Purpose in your heart that no matter what comes my way, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hang on. I'm going to hang in there. Trials can cause casualties for the most courageous Christian. I remember, and I'll close with this illustration, when we were in Moldova, we were discouraged. Yeah, we got the victory over the calm of the House of Culture where things were going well, but we had some bumps in the road. And my dad knew we had some bumps in the road. And during that time back in 93, when we were on the mission field, they had the old rotary dial-up. In fact, we had a party line that we shared with all of our neighbors. And it was dial-up internet. I mean, it was frustrating. And we had a communication. We went down to the post office to make phone calls back to the States because you couldn't place them at your home phone. And so we went through a lot of changes, a lot of difficulties. Our car broke down, and we were snowed in for 3 months, literally snowed in, and the closest grocery store was 30-minute drive, the closest. And then about that time, I got an email from my dad with a caption attached to it. And it took a while to download it and get it in, but I waited and I got it. And simply put, I wish I had brought it with me as a prop this morning. It was a picture of a stork with a frog halfway down his throat, with his arms sticked out, with his hands around the stork's throat. And it simply said, never give up. Never give up. I'm so glad to have a father and a mom and family members that prayed for me. I'm so glad and looking forward to a ministry where folks will be lifting me up in prayer at IU and us one another. And we must remember the trials are going to come, but I'm going to purpose in my heart today, when they come, I'm going to hang on. When they come, I'm going to hang in there. And I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to get better and not bitter. And I'm going to work my way through this. I'm going to glorify God and let Him be seen on those around me. Dear friends, we don't have to let trials prevail in our life. We can hang on. Let's all stand together for prayer. Michelle, if you'll come to the piano. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And Michelle will get to the piano. She'll begin playing softly when she gets there. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, and there's no one looking around this morning, let me ask a few questions. I promise I will not come to you, nor will I send anyone to you. But maybe just by the uplifting hand, you say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm going through some trials right now. I needed that. Thank you so much. Preacher, pray for me." Anyone like that? I see hands going up all across the auditorium. And we need to remember to pray for one another. Pray knowing that just as I'm going through a trial, another brother, another sister is also going through it. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, pray for me. To be honest with you, the biggest trial I'm facing right now, I don't know where I would spend eternity. If I was to die today, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven, but I would like to know." No one will come to you. Just slip your hand up and give me the privilege that I might pray for you. Anyone at all? "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved." I see that hand. Anyone else? "Preacher, pray for me. I'm just not sure, but I want to know. Would you pray for me?" Anyone else? Hand up and hand down. We're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. God has spoken to your heart where you stand or here at the altar. You do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do. If you'd like somebody to pray with you when you come and kneel, you just raise your hand and I'll make sure someone prays with you. If you'd like to talk to about a need or someone to pray with you or about salvation or any other question, you just let me know, because we're here to help. We're here to serve. We're here to love you, encourage you in any way that we can. So if God has spoken to your heart, you move right now. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Father, you know that those that need to be saved, those who need to just realize that, "Lord, this trial's coming my way may be difficult, but Father, I'm going to turn it over to you." Father, whatever the case may believers be willing to turn it over to you. May they come and pray for one another. May they come and pray and ask God to help them. May they come and pray, just thank you for the message. But Father, whatever you're moving them to do, may believers respond to thy sweet Holy Spirit and be obedient. For we ask these things in the name of our lovely Savior. With heads bowed and eyes still closed, our pianist is playing.